You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca. Fans, as there should be, McDavid's got contract now for three more seasons at least. Jake Walman's for, well, actually eight at maximum for him. They've got a lot of their guys, really only Ekholm, I think, the only big name they got left to sign an extension to. They got their coach under contract. So they pretty much kind of put all their ducks in a row to start the season in 2 days.
Yeah, I got to say, like, today is it's a great day if you're an Oilers fan. It's even better if you are a Jays fan. And I would say my I don't consume a ton of media, a ton of podcasts, but my favorite guys that do a Calgary podcast. So I do listen to them once in a while. And they obnoxiously, obviously hate the Oilers. But they're also very anti-Jays. And so for me to tune in today, it was very much Schadenfreude. It was lovely to see, like, their world was collapsing around them, which was a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah, it's interesting. Calgary's always, well, I was talking to Florida and Tampa earlier. Like, that's a rivalry because both teams have won and both teams beat each other. Really, Calgary had the one time where Edmonton kind of beat themselves in the Steve Smith goal, and that's really been it. I've never been able to beat them when it matters. And that city has just never gotten over it. I've been amazed. I have buddies who moved down to Calgary, like, God, these guys talk about the Oilers more. I think the sentiment was they hate Edmonton more than they like their own team. And that's I thought that was very well put.
Listen, I worked quite a few years in Calgary in that market, and growing up an Oilers fan as a young broadcaster, I'll admit there were times before I got kind of disillusioned with all fandom at certain point. It happens to us all. It was a little difficult because I cheered for the Oilers, and, you know, I was down there and talking about the Flames all day. It was kind of one of those things. But in the last number of years, it's been really interesting because, you know, I have a lot of friends, obviously, that are Flames fans, and spent a lot of time in Red Deer, which, as you know, is like right in the middle, right? Like, if a civil war ever broke out, Red Deer would be the safe place, right? But I've thought that was really interesting lately. People in Calgary are obsessed. They are obsessed with the Oilers. And I'm sure there's a lot of Oilers fans that, like, you know, ABC, right? Anybody but Calgary. And there have been times, especially in the decade of darkness, that Calgary got their licks in, but everybody did, to be honest. Like, the Sedins came in here and, you know, ran the Oilers show for 10 years. But you're right. Not when it mattered. And so I generally right now think that, like, do Oilers fans, like, do they even, I to be honest, I kind of find, I said this all year last year, I find the Flames kind of likable, right? Like, they work hard. I like Craig Conroy. You got to like Dustin Wolf, and they're kind of like, you know, they overachieved and they're not a threat. And, I don't think about the Flames at all. And you go down there, oh my God, they are obsessed with the Oilers. Which is, it's hilarious to me.
Yeah. Looking at the McDavid contract, obviously to me, the only surprise is that, it's $12.5 million. And, you know, it illustrates, like, hey, he's still making $125 million in 10 years. Like, he'll do all right. But you know what? Obviously he could have made more, if he wanted to. Edmonton would have gladly paid him more. So it's not about the open market. He just chose to be here. He's given himself a better chance to win. You know, they got a lot of their key guys locked up now for the next three seasons with McDavid. And so now, you know, and hey, the management's built a pretty good team here. They've got the second most playoff wins. They got the fourth most regular season wins the last 5 years. Like, I don't think anything changed. Like, if he would have signed for 6 years, it wasn't like the organization's like, oh, okay, well, we can try to win less hard. Like, it makes no sense.
Right.
To me, nothing really changes. I don't buy this suggestion that, oh, the clock is ticking in Edmonton. It's 3 years. That's a really damn long clock.
You'd love to be guaranteed that McDavid was going to wear the Oilers jersey for 5 or 6 years. Sure. Like, you know, why wouldn't you want that? But you're right. 3 years is an eternity. In the modern day, in a cap era, 3 years is a dynasty, right? That's what the Hawks had. It's what Tampa had. It's what Florida had. You know, when I look at this, Here's what I think. This is not me patting myself on the back. I'm not really surprised by what happened today, because the exercise that I've put myself through lately, and I don't know about you, Gregs, but this summer, thinking like, will he, won't he, what's he thinking, what is that camp thinking? I thought a lot about, okay, put myself, as difficult as it is to do, put myself in McDavid's shoes. Now, what would I do if I was him? And if I believe what's to be true, that he cares about his legacy, winning is what drives him, and I've heard you talk on your show multiple times, like, if winning is truly what drives you, like, where the hell are you going, right? There's one team that has proven to be better than you, and you're not going to Florida. Like, that's not happening. So, like, where else is there to go? Leverage works both ways. So in my thought, and, yeah, there might be a little bit of, hey, listen, the organization has to prove it before I just blindly sign a 7 or 8 or 8 year deal. My thought was, if I really believe that what Connor McDavid cares about, and that's winning, I'm signing a very small deal. And a lot of people are talking 3 or 4. I kind of thought 2, and I would do it at a number that obviously is still one of the highest paid players in the league, but cap space is everything. I wish it wasn't, but that's the world we live in. Sidney Crosby, Griggs, is an amazing player. And, you know, why he has 3 Stanley Cups, part of it is, yeah, he's a wonderful player. And the other part of it is he makes $8.7 million, right? The Chicago Blackhawks may be the best modern-day team we've seen in the cap era. They won 3 Cups. You know, the first one, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane were making a combined $2 million. It matters. I think the Leafs are not this team of crazy losers that don't know how to win. I saw 4 guys that took every single penny. And what does that leave you with? It leaves you with a team that is 1 or 2 pieces away. It's just not a surprise to me. So I think what Connor McDavid did here, I'm going short term. I'm going $12.5 million, and it gives you a little bit of time. Next year, the cap's going up to 104, right? So all of a sudden the Edmonton Oilers have $20 million to play with. Like, let's go win. Like, there's like, it's not never easy, but there's no more excuses. I love it. And at the same time, I wasn't surprised. Like, if he really cares about winning, the only way to do it is to give your team a chance to actually do it.
Andrew Walker joins us, pre and post game host here on Sports 1440. What's your expectations for, we'll start and go in order, Savoy, Howard, Tomasic?
I see Savoy as an 82 game player. I mean, obviously there's going to be some ups and downs. I really like his game. I love his speed. I think he's a little more versatile, right? He can kill some penalties. I love that burst against Vancouver on the weekend. That was shocking. You know, I thought he might have a chance to get a shot on goal. All of a sudden he has a full-fledged breakaway. This is a development year for Howard. Some of that development, I think, will be in the NHL. A lot of it will be in the AHL. And Tomasek, I'm intrigued by. We've all learned preseason doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, but to me, Tomasek does look like an NHL player, right? It's, you know, obviously playing the European season, you play about half the game. Is he up to the rigors? Is he a guy that's in and out of the press box? Probably. And I also think on a team that is back-to-back Western Conference championships, you have to look through it in a different lens, right? Like, this isn't the days where, you know, we're all excited about Hall and Everly and Nuge, and you give them the keys and it's their team. It just doesn't work that way anymore, not with this group. So I think, you know, if one of these guys, and I'm looking at Savoy, if he has a year, like a rookie year, like, say, I'm not even talking Calder, like, that's crazy to me, but like a Jackson Blake last year in Carolina, where he worked his way up, he started on the fourth line, and by the end of the year, he's playing top 6 and finished with 17 goals. Like, to me, that is a huge win if that's what happens with one of these guys. Howard, I think, is more of an up and down guy. But you know, I've liked all three. I've liked elements of all three.
Andrew Walker joins us. Yeah, they're very different. Like, when Zach Hyman comes back, that's going to impact it. Like, I think if if Howard's not necessarily playing a ton or maybe not producing at that point, they might say, hey, buddy, you can go down the American League for a while, which isn't the end of the world. There's so many people that I think erroneously.
It's what they did with Savoy last year. Yeah. I think he's better for it.
100% he's better for it. And he's talked about it. Man, I got all these touches offensively. I got to kill penalties. Like, I got to be in the game. I think some people think that because a guy's an offensive player that he doesn't want to play in other situations. No, he's competitive. They want to play in every situation. So, it's all good. And so I think that, you know, they're in a good situation in a weird way. The Hyman injury might open up a few doors for people that aren't necessarily there. One last one for you, outside of the penalty kill, is there anything else that's a concern for you?
Concern? No, not a concern. I'm like everybody, right? I think the goaltending situation is a question mark. I do expect Stuart Skinner to turn some heads this year, and have a good season. But I do think that the leash is short, and I think especially with what happened today, and the McDavid extension, I wouldn't say, you know, how you phrase it, like the clock is ticking. I agree with you, not necessarily, but your window is 3 years and you can't, you know, pussyfoot around. You have to be decisive, and there is an official window here now. And that goes with, you know, oh, you draft a player. Like, we got to draft this player. If he's 3, 4, 5 years away, it's not helping you in this window. And that's going to be a reality here. And so, I do think that people are really hard on the goaltending, but also they get paid no money in the cap era, and they've made two straight Stanley Cup finals. So I've never really thought it's the end of the world. Everyone would love a Igor Shesterkin or a Jake Ottinger in there, but again, where do you get those guys, and are you paying them $8, $9, $10 million? So I would say the goaltending is the closest thing. I just think that this team has to be very decisive on if it's going to work or not. And I think that they plan to do that. Otherwise, I like the defensive depth. Greg's, I just look at last year, and from night one of the season, right, they get blown up by Winnipeg. Then they got lost to Calgary and they were 0-3. It took them so long to find their footing and there was injuries. It was not a great year for the Oilers. Like they lost Holloway. They lost Broberg. The free agents they brought in were not good. They made a good deal to get Walman at the deadline, and it was just a very blah season. And they still made Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, right? Like the floor is so high for this team, and the ceiling's even higher. Last year was a great example. A lot of things can go wrong, and they were still right there, 2-2, in the Cup Final in June, and they lost to a better team. I'll admit that, but it's right there for this group, right? So. I don't really think there's any huge problems. I think that there's a whole lot more focus and motivation than there was a year ago. And I wouldn't be surprised if this team had a way better regular season than they did a year ago.
Andrew, well, we'll be tuning in Wednesday, my man. Thanks for this. Have a good one.
Awesome. It's going to be fun. Thanks, Jay.